Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. As always, thank you so much for joining us today. My motivational quote today is actually a proverb, and it says, just when the caterpillar thought the world was ending, he turned into a butterfly. How many self-help books have you read or perhaps are currently reading? And do they work? Were you able to implement the ideas shared in these books and create the change that you were probably seeking before you opened the cover of the book? So if the information is so easily available to us today, and we all are so well read, why is our world so messed up? And you know what I'm talking about. Well, today my guest is Catherine Jegede, I hope I said that right, and we are going to discuss her new book called Infinite Possibilities, How to Use the Ideas of Neville Goddard to Create the Life You Want. Now, Kate says that this is neither a run-of-the-mill modern self-help book nor an attempt to make the world a better or lovelier place. Instead, it puts into the hands of the reader the ability to make life exactly what they want it to be by revealing the substance and purpose of life. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Now, with this book, the reader will be able to eliminate the delusions that keep human beings powerless. Now, Kate is a British television presenter and author with a background in science, which is extremely interesting. She was first introduced to metaphysics as a teenager by her mom, a former yoga teacher and education specialist, and she developed a penetrating and enduring fondness for the self-empowerment teachers of Neville Goddard, which we'll discuss today. After postgraduate research at Oxford, Kate moved to Switzerland to work at the World Health Organization, where she developed educational resources for rural communities in sub-Saharan Africa. In addition to all of her academic science career, which is lengthy, Kate has worked with the BBC Science Unit and BBC Radio Oxford, and she served as news editor of the International Journal of Africa Health, for whom she assisted in the establishment of a learning resource and study center at one of Nigeria's forefront teaching hospitals. She's been published in the internationally acclaimed science journal Nature, and Kate has also presented two science series aimed at young adults for Channel 4 in the UK, earning her a BAFTA nomination. Kate, thank you so much for being on. And again, I know I just had to give all of your credentials because they were so beautiful and I didn't want to diminish who you are. So I thought it was important for the listeners to kind of get a vibe of your just extensive background and your wealth of knowledge that you bring here, you know, with us today. So thank you for being on the show.
Oh, I'm so excited, Connie. Thank you for having me.
Oh, true pleasure. So let's jump in. What inspired you to write this book, first of all?
Okay, so it was a very natural progression for me, because when I started reading Neville as a very young person, I kept journals, which is a habit I've always had. Whenever a book has had an impact on me, I'd make a note of whatever it was in the book that impacted me in a diary or something. So I accumulated this vast collection of notes, of journals, of diaries, and I found that actually what I wanted was a quick and easy reference guide that I could keep with me all the time. So I started to make up my own little collections of the teachings of Neville that I felt were most relevant to me, that were easy to absorb and that I could top up on, if you like, whenever I needed to. So rather than having to trawl through all of his lectures and all of his audio materials and books, I'd have this guide by my side. So that's really where it came from. When I put it together, it really turned into a book, which was really interesting, and I showed it to someone and to get an idea of what they thought, and I received the confirmation that yes, this is a book that's going to be important, particularly to the New Thought community and beyond.
You know, it's interesting, first of all, journaling, a great habit for everybody, because as we think of things, if we jot them down, you know, because the thought is in and then the thought is out, because we have so much noise and information hitting us every day. So journaling, what a great habit that you, you know, formulated when you were a kid. The second thing that struck me is you are such a teacher. you know, I journaled and then I looked, I would, so I could reflect on my notes, and that's the way a teacher thinks, right? How can I simplify and use this information every day? And then it's interesting because you starting to journal, the thought wasn't the book then. So the book was almost an after fact of this compilation of raw, delicious data.
Absolutely. That's exactly what happened. It's funny you should say that. I'm from a family of teachers, although my dad's an attorney. He's retired now, but he was a law professor as well. So my mom's obviously worked in education for years. All of my siblings are qualified teachers. So these are the habits you kind of pick up. But it's funny that you picked up on that.
Oh, I love it. I just, because the way a teacher thinks is very, because it's always like, get all the information. Now, how can I simplify that so a lot of people can understand it and use it? And it was funny because that's how your mind works, but you did it for yourself. And now look, it's benefiting the world, which is just really kind of cool that that wasn't your intent from the onset. So I just think, you know, the universe, the lines of the universe combine, right, and create what we're supposed to be creating. So it's just cool when I see things like that.
Thank you.
Now, my next question is, just for everyone listening, who exactly is Neville Goddard, and why should we even care about who he is and his teachings?
Okay, so Neville Goddard, for me, is a gift to humanity. He's just this amazing person. So he was born into an English family. He's English by heritage, Scottish and Irish, but was born on the island of Barbados in 1905. And I know sometimes people get jumpy when they hear about Europeans being born in the Caribbean, but they weren't this colonial family that went there to dominate, right? They were very much a modest family and part of the community, really beloved by everybody in Barbados. And they actually did tremendous work as a family. They brought great industry to the island and gave jobs to thousands of people. So that really shouldn't be overlooked. But Neville himself was a bit of a maverick in his family. As a teenager, he left the island and traveled to New York to pursue a career as a dancer and an actor on stage. But he was there during the Depression. And he often said that if people didn't have money to eat, they certainly didn't have money to come and watch someone dance. And so his life took a slightly different track. He was introduced later on in his 20s, early 20s, I believe, to an Ethiopian rabbi by the name of Abdullah, who had a spiritual awakening or spiritual awareness that Neville was going to come to him. In fact, when Neville met Abdullah for the first time, Abdullah said, "You're 6 months late." And Neville himself said that he was reticent about meeting Abdullah because a Catholic friend told him about it. And he didn't trust this guy's judgment. He thought, all right, this is somebody who wasted a $2 million inheritance. So I'm not really listening to what he has to say. But when he met Abdullah and he was introduced to the Kabbalah, to Jewish mysticism, to the Bible, but not so much as a religious document, more as an esoterically psychological document, his own ministry was birthed in him. There's so much more to Neville. I could talk about him all day, Connie, but he really is a friend of everybody living. And you find that people have such an intimate relationship with his work. And some people feel such a familiarity with what he says. He really resonates with them. Another thing I want to mention is that Neville said that he was just a messenger. So it was never about him. He never put himself ahead of the message. He said, "I've been gifted with this ability to share this information with you and make this about you and to position you as the arbiter and the creator of your own experience." And I think that's one of the reasons I love him.
And you know what's interesting? I think that premise of putting us, right, people, the world, ahead of self, it's so needed today with, I mean, and Kate, you see it. And I, in England here, Canada, you know, my husband's Canadian, we have family in Canada. The disrespect is everywhere. It's international. Mm-hmm. Like it has no boundaries. So this concept of working from that essence of you before me is really needed, I think, from an extreme perspective of just what's going on in our world today. So mm-hmm. what a beautiful, again, now think about this. This was the early 1900s, and how relevant, even maybe even more relevant, given the just the time we're in because of social media and the immediacy of information, right? Everybody mm-hmm. has a camera. So bad things that people are doing, I think, is caught even easier, you know, than it was 100 years ago, for sure. So I just love that whole premise of where he was coming from. And it's really from a goodness standpoint, yes. which is really kind of cool. Now, jump in a little bit. Tell us a little bit about the book that you've written. And what's the core message that you hope the readers will walk away with?
Okay, so the book that I've written is based on these ideas that Neville brought into the world. So they aren't his ideas per se, but the way that he was able to expound on these ideas and to deliver them is what is unique about them. So it's this age-old story about the fact that human beings are more than we often believe ourselves to be. So Neville will talk about the fact that when we're born into the world, we actually forget about the authentic consciousness part of ourselves, and that is the creative part of it. And he's saying that the human imagination is not this faction or a part or functionality of the physical mind as we've been taught it is, but actually it is substantively the source creator. So imagination is where everything that exists comes from. Because people don't understand or aren't able to articulate how that happens, many people are inclined to disbelieve. But what he says is that you can come to the truth of this knowledge yourself through establishing a connection between your physical form, which is the form in which we experience the world around us, and this authentic form, which is the God substance. So when I say God, I don't mean that in a religious sense. I mean that as the universal thing that we cannot quite put our finger on, but the source of everything.
Sure.
We have that aspect of ourselves, and he has a wonderful lecture called The Duality of Man, which speaks to that. So the core message of my book is that it is entirely possible through a system of practical exercises to remember who you are, and not only to remember who you are, but to switch over from operating in our limited human form to this unlimited consciousness form. And that's what the book is all about. I take it from all different angles, from who we want to be as members of our society, to health and perfect expression, to getting putting an end to suffering as we perceive suffering, all sorts of different things, the things that we think are important to us. But I say, don't resist any of the things that you desire to express in this world, but understand that there is an absolutely faultless, infallible way of experiencing life, and you do that through these exercises.
And it's interesting, the imagination, right? That we, I think we lose our imaginative mind, again, because all the stimuli, all the pressures we have just in life, right? Just getting up, going to work, raising the kids, making sure mm-hmm. that we cook, we food shop, we do, you know, the list goes on and on that we can all relate to. So I think we forget about the imagination. And I think it was Albert Einstein who said, like, everything begins and ends with our imagination. And with imagination, everything is possible. Yet I think we stop our imagination because we put limits on ourselves. Oh, that could never happen. I did that recently. I was working with my partner, and we were talking about, I have a second business with a partner in Florida. And we were talking about, you know, 2019, what do we want the business to do? And kind of brainstorming. And I don't know what I said. And I'm like, that'll never happen. And Kate, as soon as I said it, I went, whoa, like, that was a limiting belief. Talk about putting boundaries on something. And we giggled. And then I reframed what I was saying from the expectation of the business. And I thought, no, we are going to do, you know, again, so that imagination, we have the imaginative mm-hmm. thought, and then we stop.
Yes.
It's hard. Life is hard for us. So now your work, how can your work make a difference, do you feel, in the real world? And because we live in the real world, right? We all live in mm-hmm. reality. So what do you think the real challenges are, and how your book can maybe help us?
So what I'm offering with this book, or what I do with this book, is actually give you a gateway into that thinking of expansion, that thinking that is not tied down by the limits that we see and perceive. And I do it in a practical way. So I'm not asking anyone to believe anything beforehand. I'm just asking you to take these steps, because these exercises, as I lay them out, are going to lead you inevitably to that discovery that I am promising you will make. And so I think that makes it easier, rather than asking people to actually stop living in the real world. I'm saying you are living in the real world, because the real world is actually the method by which we discover who we are. The events that we go through day to day, what gets misconstrued about the events we go through day to day, even something like paying the bills, our relationships, going to the doctor, is that they are there to teach us something. And that's something that not a lot of people are aware of. So I'm saying I'm giving people entrance into this expanded view, this new perspective, and this new way of living, using very practical methods like types of meditation, a unique spin on that, and also things that they can do as they're going to sleep. So I'm not telling you to accept anything as at face value. I'm saying that there's a discovery you're going to make, which is inevitable, and all of the imagination stuff is going to take care of itself. That's the beauty of this, Connie. It doesn't require people to come in with any previous knowledge or any preconceived ideas. It's just follow these steps and see what happens. And it's going to make a difference, because all of a sudden people are going to be able to do things they never thought possible before. One of the things that happens almost instantly is that you receive inspiration about anything that you're going through. Solutions show up for you. And it really is astounding the way that happens.
It's funny because, of course, I read the book, right? Before I have a guest on, I always like to read the book. I just think it makes for a better conversation. And then I can ask questions, because remember, if the listeners read the book, they're going to have questions. So I kind of take the stance from the listener perspective. And it was funny, a couple of observations on the book. You write it in such a lovely way that it's easy to understand and to digest the information, because this is a pretty lofty, you know, heavy concept for a lot of people. So you break it down, like for me, it was easy peasy, right? So I liked that kind of, it had a nice vibe to it. The other thing I liked is you were like, don't take my word for it. Try this exercise and just play with it. And I liked that way that you helped us play with it. I liked that you kept, you know, play with it, experiment with it, see what happens, form your own judgment. So throughout the book, you say, don't trust me, trust yourself, try it, play with it and see what happens, see what shows up. And all of those things I found to be really cool. So I did implement a lot of your teachings, right? I say teachings, your examples. Mm-hmm. And it's funny how things happen. Now it's interesting. Now I read the book probably about a month ago. So now I was like, oh, good, we're going to do the show today. This is great. And I want to go back and actually reread the book, because now meeting you, getting your insight, hearing versus just reading your words, I always find very helpful. So I like sometimes to go back and reread the book. So I'm definitely going to do that. Now, I want you to do one more thing for me, because you were talking about like paying the bills and doing these mundane things in life. I want to give you an example. How can this new thought help, for instance, a family maybe that doesn't have health care? So, you know, that could be daunting and overwhelming, especially if you have a sick child or something like that. So how can this help them? Can you give us an example?
Yeah, so one of the things that happens when we have a challenge like that, we're trying to provide for people we care about something that's important to their existence, is that we get shut down by fear. And one of the biggest fears is, am I going to find a healthcare plan that meets all of the needs within the budget that I have? Absolutely. What often happens is that there are plans available that you can't quite, you haven't come into contact with because of that fear. It's causing a dam. But another thing that is possible for people is that policies can change for you. Now, this is a really frightening thing for some people to grasp, but I'm inviting people to trust the process. So what you want to do is not try to think of finding the perfect plan or worrying about having the money, but getting into the consciousness that your family is covered, and allow the thing that is right for the family to show up. And I'm saying that with faith, which is actually non-resistance to the idea that this is true, the thing that you are looking for is going to show up for you. So what I'm saying is that healthcare providers or however it works, I'm not entirely familiar with the system in the United States, will make provisions for you that wouldn't ordinarily exist. This is the kind of thing, or the money for it will show up, a special offer, whatever needs to happen will happen. The important thing is that you get out of the way of trying to make the thing happen and discipline yourself to accept with absolute certainty that what you need has shown up for you. And this is what we're talking about. It's not that necessarily that something's going to float down from the sky, but suddenly the plan that you need, it meets all of your needs in a way that you didn't realize before. Or things that you thought you need, you don't need because your health is what it needs to be. So it can happen in a variety of ways, but it's about getting into contact, not with how this thing is going to show up or how it's going to work, but with the consciousness that what you need has been provided, and it absolutely will. Because as Neville teaches us, all things exist. It's just a question of coming into contact with what we need.
And it's funny because, okay, I've been working on myself, Kate, for a long time. For 15 years, you know, doing research and practicing meditation, and, you know, your thoughts become your reality. All of these things that I truly believe, you know, at my inner core. It is really, really, really hard to not control, well, I need to do this for that to happen. And that need to know how to accomplish something versus saying, I know it's going to show up. I know it's going to happen for me. It's really, really hard, I think, for most of us to have that faith, especially when things are going poorly in our life, where we feel like we're struggling financially. Someone is always ill, or I'm always facing some type of hardship. And I think it's so hard for us to do exactly what you said, but believe that it's here. I have it now, right? That sense of it's already happening, because we want to control it. So that's really hard. So why should everybody listening believe or believe in your book?
So as we were talking about before, it's a question of not asking people to believe. As Neville says, it's unreasonable to ask someone to believe if they have no reference for it. It is an unreasonable thing to do. So what we do is we offer practical solutions to overcoming those kinds of resistances. So for example, if a person is constantly worried about money, what I encourage them to do in that moment that they're thinking about money is think about something else. And you will be able to discipline your mind to let go of, as what Neville calls, the mental grasp that you have on something that is causing you concern. So if you think about money, just stop. Think about anything else, cookies, baking, going for a walk. You can actually start to loosen the grip that your mind has on those issues. And in time, it will lose its effect. So I'm saying it's possible to discipline your mind using the techniques that I set out. And as you were saying before, I say, don't take my word. Are we there? Okay, I think.
Yes, we had a little glitch. We're good.
Okay, so what I'm saying is it's going to happen in time. So Neville says a lot of this is simple, but it's not necessarily easy. But the beautiful thing, Connie, is that it is entirely possible. So it does require us to be deterministic about this in our approach. The beautiful thing is that as we are being deterministic about this, and we are determined to see this thing through to a conclusion that satisfies us, we are actually becoming stronger and stronger as creative beings. So it's a win-win situation. So I would say to someone, while you're thinking about something that's disturbing you, just deliberately and automatically think about something. It could be something absurd, and allow yourself your attention to rest on that new thing, the thing that isn't the problem, for as long as is comfortable for you. And however often it takes, Neville says the mind is like this wild colt, this wild horse that needs to be tamed. You can tame it by being deliberate in your actions. So direct your thought in another direction and watch what happens. Then when you feel less panicked or stressed out about the issue, you can start to apply the techniques towards it, such as feeling positive about what you want coming through.
You know, it's interesting. And I think, Kate, all of us, right? We all have some level of worry about money. Some months are better than other months, right? All of these things. The college tuition is due. Where's that money going to come from? So I think that money, and I think everybody understands that concept because we've all felt that lack at some point in our life, right? So when I start thinking, oh, that bill's coming due, or the car breaks down, oh, where's that money going to come from again? And I, after reading your book, it was so funny. Because like you said, think about baking. I don't cook, so it would never be that for me. But it's like, oh, think about my son plays hockey. That, oh, I watched him play. That was so much fun to watch. I love watching him play. So you shift that thinking. The other thing I've been doing whenever I have my little, and we all have money issues, right? So whenever I have my little money issues, I immediately think of all the things I'm grateful for. So all of the blessings. So instead of going to that thought of lack, I try to go through to that where I have abundance in my life, you know, good health. My parents have good health. My in-laws have good health. My kids are thriving in college and you know, I have a great marriage. So all of the wonderful things and blessings that you have, that gratitude, I guess that's the right word, is gratitude. Yeah. It helps shift and I think calm that fear. So yes, I do play with thinking of something absurd because sometimes that makes me laugh and then all of a sudden that fear dissipates. And then I always try to shift to that thought of abundance in my life because then, you know, the abundance flows towards you. It's hard. This is hard stuff we're talking about, you know. Can you give an example, Kate? This might help too. Can you point to anything in your own life that was really hurting or wasn't working? And how did you use this to make it work for you personally? You know,
gosh, so many examples. Actually, this is one of the questions I would have benefited from being prepared about. But I really am glad that you said it like that. Now, I will say it slightly differently, and I'll double back around to the money, if I may. Yeah. Connie, so for me, I wanted to be a writer for a long time, and so I didn't focus on a career, you know, that people need a job while you're writing. It can't be all pie in the sky. And so I did loads and loads of temp jobs and I was just floating around waiting. So I didn't have a lot of money and I was really worried about never being able to get out of my parents' home and have a life of my own. But what Neville teaches is that instead of trying to think about how you're going to get money, the money itself, you're starting to enjoy the fantasy of being the person you want to be. And so in my life, let me use me being in North Carolina as an example. It's a very modern, present and relevant example. I'm okay now. You know, I have income and I'm doing okay. And my husband is okay and we're comfortable. But I don't think about money anymore. I don't sort of think about how am I going to make something happen for myself. When I wanted to be here, I knew that I was supposed to be in the United States. And so I started to just enjoy being in the United States, thinking about the food and the culture and the people. And then I get the invite to be here and I didn't pay a penny for it. We're living in an incredible condo in an incredible neighborhood. I couldn't have given this to myself, really, because we're talking about multi-million dollar homes and all of the opulence. And I didn't pay a penny for it. I was invited because I contacted the consciousness of being here. So sometimes we worry about how am I going to get the money to make something happen? But the money isn't actually part of it. And Neville talks about that in his own experience. When he wanted to see his family in Barbados, he didn't have any money. He was working for $5 a week at Macy's. And then his brother sends him a ticket and he travels to Barbados first class. So one of the things that happens when we are doing this work is that as we learn to trust this creative aspect of ourselves, we know that certain things are not important for us to have. The thing that we must look into and lock into is the feeling that everything is as we want it to be. So I wanted to be here, for example, and I'm here without having spent a penny. And so my husband and I calculated if we wanted to do what we're doing now, we would have had to found about $50,000 or $60,000 to make what we're doing possible. And that was all provided. So this is what I'm talking about. It's trusting, but that trust doesn't come just because I'm telling you to trust. It comes when you actually open the channels of communication between your physical being and the being that resides inside of you. And that's what I'm offering with this book. I don't know if that answers the question as fully as your audience might like, but that was just an example that came to mind.
It was a great example. So now I have a follow-up question, right? I always have a follow-up question. So how long from you having that thought of, I'm in the United States, I'm enjoying the people like Connie Whitman, I'm enjoying the food that the United States provides, and I live in this beautiful house, condo, whatever it is. From that essence of experience, right, mental experience, imagination, to actually getting here, what was the time frame? I'm curious.
Okay, so it was about 6 days.
Oh, come on! That's crazy!
And actually getting into this apartment was less than 48 hours. And it's because of where I am now. So it's a very, very individual thing, and it does depend on the intensity of the feeling. So at the point, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. It doesn't mean it's going to take people a long time to get here. It really does depend on the individual. But those who in their natural lives, in their everyday physical lives, are a bit of risk takers, they're going to find that this stuff works for them very, very quickly. People who are too cautious or are really logical, so Neville says that logic and reason are the enemies of this process, they're going to find things take a little bit longer, but that doesn't matter, really. I don't want anyone to get into judgment about how long it takes. Once those channels of communication are open, it's like driving a car, riding a bicycle, or sailing a boat. You never forget how to do it. So this is what I'm all about. Through reading this book, people will find shifts happening immediately. They will find that they are starting to have these inspirations that they didn't have before, and they will begin to feel differently about their human experience, in the sense that our lives can feel limited and we can be worried about where the resources to do things are coming from. But actually, if you spend your time in your imagination, just doing, living, being, having, things will fall into place very, very, very quickly. Things happen to me, for me, very quickly.
And again, I think because you've been using these tools for so long that it's a muscle memory thing. So you immediately shift over to, it's going to happen. It's happening. It's happened, yes. Right? That it's happened. And then couple of days later, a couple of hours later, it actually does happen for you. So it's a muscle memory. Like anything else, you have to practice it. Mm-hmm. The thing about the book, though, Kate, is you really do build, right, from the real simple 1 minute, do this for 1 minute kind of thing. So it's not like, okay, put yourself in a soundproof room and, you know, go meditate for 3 hours. Your little exercises are 1 minute, 5 minutes, try this, think of that. It's nothing complicated. So here's the thing, I think, Kate, that's important, because people are like, oh, I can't meditate. Oh, I have a monkey mind. Oh, I deep dive into the, you know, the rabbit hole. Doesn't matter. I think the book breaks it down again, simple steps. And you know what's so funny? I think in life, Kate, and I don't know if you found this, we love making things more complicated than they absolutely need to be. So the way you have the book set up, and you know, you share a lot about your story and your disbelief and losing faith and all of those things, and then finding that path of faith again. So you share so many beautiful examples of your personal experience, vulnerability that you share with everybody. But then you do these little steps. So, you know, baby steps is what wins the game, not that you have to do 3 hours of meditation to find your inner self. So that was the other thing that I found helpful about the book, that it was easy. It was easy to implement your recommendations. So and anybody, no matter the level of their intuitiveness or their ability to meditate or all of these, doesn't matter, you can do this.
Yeah, I just want to speak to that, Connie. I think the distinction for me, I saw with Neville's work and other New Thought authors that I read, and he himself said, I'm not a New Thought author, I'm just a messenger of this message, as I think that for a lot of authors, and this is not criticizing them in any way, is trying to teach us to discipline and train the human body, right? So to train the mind. It's very much a human endeavor. What Neville's saying is that I'm just here to remind you who you are. And that process doesn't take very long. And so as soon as you remember who you are, and as soon as you open that channel of connection, all bets are off. You're free to be, do, have anything you want. So I think people do find it a little bit difficult to believe that this stuff is so easy, but I'm not training the human body to develop new habits or anything like that. I'm saying that this you that I'm talking about, you were born as. And so it's just a question of saying, hi, are you really there? Is it really true? And as soon as you get that answer back, the world is your oyster. It really is that. And so people shouldn't be suspicious or worried about the fact that it is this easy and it is this straightforward and this fast. It really is, because this is not about your human form, which, as I say, is the tool we have to navigate the physical world, to learn all of these energetic lessons and all of that. But it is about remembering that you are an unlimited being of consciousness that's just waiting to take over from your human self.
Yeah, well said. And again, it's hard. Let me rephrase that. It's hard when we put those limitations. Oh, it's not possible. Oh, that can't happen. Can it? Maybe it should. Try it out, right? So you have that flip side of, it's never going to happen to me. That sounds all wonderful, but it can't happen to me. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not going to happen to you if you continue to have that mindset, right? Of lack, or it won't, or not for me. I'll never achieve that kind of thing. It's sad. It's sad how humans, we do limit ourselves. It's kind of a tragic thing, but I think that's part of our journey to enlightenment, right? The show Enlightenment of Change, but to enlightenment of all things are possible. And we have all that we need is available to us right here, right now.
Yes. And I think one of the exercises that's going to be really helpful is I think it's chapter 2, Magic Mirror. But what happens is, as you know, Connie, we spend so much time looking at that person over there. Oh, my God. Could you imagine a young singer looking at, I don't know, Carrie Underwood and thinking, I could never be Carrie Underwood. Well, no, because Carrie Underwood is Carrie Underwood. But you can be Jane Smith, whoever you are, Mary Jones, look in the mirror and say, wow, you're cool. I love you. You're amazing. Absolutely. And you are this great singer. And just watch it happen for you. We're trying to police other people's behavior and experiences, or make them our own. No, like I said, Carrie Underwood is Carrie Underwood. Beyoncé is Beyoncé. And you are you. And there is no difference, as Neville says, between any of you, any of us.
I love it.
The thing that excites me.
I love it. We're out of time, but I want to make sure I give your website. So
sure.
if you're loving this, Catherine Jegede. So it's I said it right. Yay. Katherine. Catherine, and then Jegede is JEGEDE.com. I will post it on the website. The book available on Amazon too.
Yes. Okay. And in all booksellers, Barnes & Noble, and all of the good stuff.
Okay. So the name of the book, again, is Infinite Possibilities, How to Use the Ideas of Neville Goddard to Create the Life You Want. So again, Infinite Possibilities. Check it out. Buy it. I highly recommend it. It's easy to read. It really is. And you just share so many lovely stories, too. So I felt it a very heartwarming book to read. It felt good. It's a feel-good book to read as well. Awesome. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you for the time today, Kate. Just wonderful speaking with you and sharing the story. Guys, if you need me, please go to Connie@WhitmanAssociates.com. I do respond to my emails personally, and I'm happy to help you if you need help with your business or your sales or your coaching experience. I'm your gal. Kate, thank you again for your time.
Connie.
Yes, and lots of luck in North Carolina, you said, right?
Yes.
Yes, enjoy the United States. I love it here. I think you should come to Jersey. Jersey's the best state in the country.
I've enjoyed the warmth, and it's been amazing so far.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes, yes. Thank you again. I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves so we all embrace change and realize that it's probably right at our fingertips. So buy the book. Here's another opportunity for you to change something in your life and actually gain control. Thank you again, Kate. Thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all a wonderful and inspired week. Thanks, everybody.